groundwater problems.
And Matt, before you start, if folks, if you can't hear us, raise your hands and kind of wave them, and then that'll be a silent indicator for me to try to get people to speak up. So please do that. Okay, let's go.
Just a second. There's a woman there raising her hand. Why doesn't she move up here?
Okay.
There was a motion, she put it down. Why don't you just make that suggestion?
Okay. Is there anyone still in the back there that is having difficulty hearing us? Because I'd like to encourage you to come up here. There's a few more seats, and that way you won't have to be struggling throughout the workshop. Up here, folks, come all the way up here. Their seats, the front row.
If you want to sit together, maybe you folks could scoot one way
down.
Or the other.
There we go. Okay. I don't know. Maybe they don't know each other, Roger.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Good morning. Everybody hear me okay? I just want to point out the screens that we have, and I apologize to everybody here. You're going to have a stiff neck by the end of the day. Two monitors to your left, the one on the right will be in English. I suppose the one on the left is going to be in Spanish, and then another screen over here. As Roger said, my name is Matthew Keeling. Good morning. I'm Water Board staff engineer, and I'm here to talk to you today about the conditions of our groundwater basins in areas subject to intensive irrigated agriculture in the Central Coast region. Now, over the last year or so, we've been taking a more in-depth view of the conditions of our groundwater basins with regard to nitrate on a region-wide scale. And consequently, most of the information I'm going to provide today is relatively new to us, and we've kind of had inferences of what the situation looked like, but until more recently, we put together some data from other agencies. We've got a clearer picture of what the problems look like. Now, in addition to providing support for revision of the irrigated agricultural order, a lot of this work was conducted as part of our ongoing vision process for us to identify and address some of our biggest water quality problems. Now, agricultural impacts to groundwater include nitrate, salt, herbicide, and pesticide loading. Of these, nitrate impacts is the most widespread and severe. Now, the scale and severity of the nitrate impacts to our groundwater basins and our drinking water supplies in agricultural areas within the Central Coast region are staggering. Major portions of entire groundwater basins are impacted with average nitrate concentrations of over 2 times the drinking water standard, with maximum concentrations up to 10 times the drinking water standard. Given that approximately 83% of the potable water supply within our region comes from groundwater, significant number of water supply wells contain nitrate in excess of the drinking water standard, with an even larger number that are under the influence of nitrate just up to the drinking water standard. Now, ongoing nitrate loading to groundwater from fertilizer application is significant, and it accounts for approximately 80% of the relative loading in some areas of our region. And the costs associated with nitrate impacts to our drinking water supplies are likely in the millions, maybe even in the billions. And the drinking water standard for nitrate is based on methemoglobinemia. It's also known as blue baby syndrome, potential birth effects, and increased risks of miscarriage. Now, more recent studies have also linked nitrate to below the drinking water standard to increase risks of diabetes, Parkinson's syndrome, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, bladder cancer, thyroid inhibition, and endocrine system disruption. Now, based on these studies, EPA is considering whether it should reevaluate the nitrate standard for drinking water. Now, nitrate in groundwater just isn't a water quality or a public health issue. This is also an environmental justice issue. And that's because there's thousands of people in lower-income rural agricultural areas who are potentially drinking water that contains nitrate in excess of the drinking water standard. Now, this is a map of the Central Coast region showing all of the public water supply wells that were in service between 1979 and 2009. And a public water supply well is a well or a system that has 15 service connections or more. And a service connection would typically be an individual household or a dwelling. Now, these wells are typically very deep and generally less susceptible to nitrate impacts than shallower wells, as I'll show you in subsequent slides. Now, the well locations in the pie chart are color-coded, represent the maximum nitrate concentration range within those wells during the last three decades. Now, green, see if I can do this without shaking too much, not nervous. Green represents maximum concentrations that are below what we're calling the human impact threshold. And I don't want you to confuse this with a background level, because there are portions of our groundwater basins that contain virtually no nitrate at all. There's a number of studies that are out that show that concentrations of nitrate in excess of 14 milligrams per liter are clear indications of human sources of nitrate impacts. The yellow are maximum concentrations between the 14 milligrams per liter and just up to below the drinking water standard of 45 milligrams per liter. And we're using a convention in most of these slides, and I won't really talk about the units, but as nitrate, and the standard would be 45, the drinking water standard would be 45 milligrams per liter here. Red indicates maximum concentrations that are in excess of the drinking water standard. Now, during this time period, if you look at the pie chart, 13% of the public water supply wells contain nitrate concentrations in excess of the drinking water standard, with 31%, it's the yellow wedge, that showed signs of under the influence of human sources of nitrate. Now, the average nitrate concentrations for these data is about one half of the drinking water standard, with maximum nitrate concentrations of up to 10 times the drinking water standard. Now, the good news is that public water supply systems are subject to very specific regulatory requirements for sampling, treatment, and public notification. Now, consequently, public water supply systems are required to provide safe drinking water that contains nitrate at below the drinking water standard. Now, as you can see from the figure, the most intensive impacts that we have are localized in areas of intensive irrigated agricultural activity. You've got Salinas Valley here, Santa Maria Valley, southern Santa Clara Valley, and the Hollister and the Gilroy areas. Or Hollister and San Juan Bautista, excuse me. Now, focusing in on the Salinas Valley groundwater basin shown here, and this excludes the Paso Robles part of the Paso Robles sub-basin of that valley, which is in San Luis Obispo County. The number of public supply wells with nitrate in excess of the drinking water standard increases to 18%. Now, if you recall previously, for the entire region, that was 13%. Now, for the number of wells that are under the influence of human sources impacts, that increases from 31% to 37%. I'd just like to point out that land use in the Salinas Valley is approximately 63% farmland, 7% urban and built up, with the remaining 30% is open space. Now, if we exclude the Seaside, Corral de Tierra, and the Langley subbasins of the Salinas Valley groundwater basin, the number of wells that have nitrate concentrations in excess of the drinking water standard increases to 23%, and the number of wells that are under the influence of human sources of nitrates increase to 37%. Well, they're the same, actually, 37%. Now, the percentage of public supply wells in the Santa Maria groundwater basin containing nitrate in excess of the drinking water standard is considerably higher, at 27%, with 40% under the influence of human sources of nitrate. And again, the Salinas Valleys and the Santa Maria Valleys are our two most intensely irrigated agricultural areas. Now, up to this point, I've only been talking about public water supply systems with 15 or more connections. And again, these are subject to fairly vigorous oversight for sampling, treatment, and public notification requirements. Now, there's three additional tiers of public water supply wells, and what this table shows are the four different types of water supply systems broken down by the number of service connections. So this would be the public water supply, and that's the 13% that we saw on the first slide. And as you go down, these are the on the right side, it's the percentage of the wells or systems that have nitrate in excess of the drinking water standard. Now, as you can see from the, and on the left, I'm sorry, this is the number of connections. And again, connection would be a typical household or dwelling. As you can see, as you go down the chart, the impacts or the number of wells that have concentrations of nitrate in excess of the drinking water standard generally increase. Now, this is because as you go down the chart, the wells for these smaller systems, as they have less service connections, these tend to be shallower wells that are located in more rural areas that are in the vicinity of agricultural areas. Now, I'd also like to point out, as you go down this chart, the number of the types of these systems increases as the connections decrease. So we typically have more of the smaller systems in most parts of our region than we do the larger public water supply systems. And also, as you go down the chart, the relative amount of regulatory oversight tends to decrease as you go down and with a decreased number of connections. Now, the state small water supply systems, defined as having 5 to 14 connections, are only required by state law to be sampled one time during the initial permitting process for that water supply system. Now, although most of the counties within our region require one-time sampling for the local small or the shared small systems, those are systems with 2 to 4 connections, the state law doesn't even mention these systems, as well as the individual domestic wells. Now, all counties in our region require treatment for these systems based on the initial sampling at the time of the permit application, but Monterey County is the only county that I'm aware of that requires ongoing sampling for these systems over time to track nitrate and other contaminant concentrations. And I bring these up, they're kind of hard to see, but I also put similar pie charts with the concentration ranges next to each of these columns. And just to point out, you can also see that the relative percentage of these systems that are under the influence of human sources of nitrates also increases. For the state small systems of 5 to 14 connections, it goes up to 52%. For the local or shared small systems with 2 to 4 connections, the number goes up to 42%. Now, the relative percentage of small water systems, Okay, now what about the domestic wells here? Now, we don't know the extent of nitrate impacts to the estimated 44,000 domestic wells within our region. Now, these wells are even more susceptible to nitrate than the public supply system wells or the small water supply system wells, because they're generally even shallower in depth and their locations are typically rural in nature and close to areas where we have a lot of agricultural activity. Now, domestic wells are generally never sampled for nitrate, given only a few counties in our region have more recently started requiring one-time sampling at the time of the well permit application process. In 2006, the State Water Resources Control Board Groundwater Ambient Monitoring Assessment Program, they did a domestic well study in Tulare County. And what they found was that 41% of the domestic wells that they sampled contained nitrate in excess of the drinking water standard. And I also like to point out that they found similar statistics regarding the number of public supply well and small water supply wells that were impacted with nitrate above the drinking water standard. Now, within our region, Santa Clara Valley Water District has been conducting a voluntary domestic well nitrate sampling program since 1988. Of the 600 domestic wells that they've sampled since that time, over half of them have contained nitrate in excess of the drinking water standard. Now, to be fair, some of these impacts may be attributable, to septic systems. Now, applying these statistics, the 40% that was in Tulare County study, to our region, over 18,000 people in Monterey County and 54,000 people within our entire region could be drinking water from domestic wells that contains nitrate in excess of the drinking water standard. Now, as I mentioned previously, this just isn't a water quality or a public health issue. This is also an environmental justice issue because of the sheer number of people who are likely drinking water that contains nitrate in excess of the drinking water standard. Now, most of these people are likely in lower-income rural agricultural areas where the impacts are the most severe and widespread. 2007, the Monterey County Water Resources Agency, they sampled 152 agricultural wells within the four hydrologic subareas or subbasins in the Salinas Valley Groundwater Basin. And each of the subbasins are color-coded here on the map. Now, in the pressure aquifer, shown in pink, nitrate impacts decrease with depth in a similar trend as we see for drinking water supply wells. Now, this aquifer is separated into three semi-combined aquifers, and I'll just go through these from bottom to top. Now, the agricultural wells sampled in the deep aquifer showed no impacts from nitrate, and as you go up into the 400-foot and the 180-foot aquifer, the number of wells that contain nitrate in excess of the drinking water standard were 7% and 32%. And average nitrate concentrations within the wells sampled in these subbasins were 1.8 to 2.4 times the drinking water standard, with maximum concentrations. The maximum concentrations are about 3 to 6 times the drinking water standard for these wells here. Now, if we look at the unconfined east side, If we look at the unconfined east side, Forbay, and the Upper Valley aquifers, and I forgot to mention that these tables are all color-coded to match the basins, and what they show is they've got the mean nitrate concentration, the range of the nitrate concentrations, and the percent of wells that exceed the drinking water standard. I apologize for not pointing that out earlier. But the wells, the agricultural wells in these three sub-basins were the most heavily impacted, with 60%, 54%, and 68% of the wells that were sampled contained nitrate concentrations in excess of the drinking water standard. Now, the average nitrate concentration within these wells were between 1.8 and 2.4 times the drinking water standard, with maximum concentrations up to over 11 times the drinking water standard. That would be that 502 number there in the east side aquifer. Yeah, these wells are all at varying depths and age and construction type.
Is there a general trend that the worst ones are shallower?
Typically, shallower are worse, but if we can hold our questions till later, we'd appreciate that. Now, I'd like to point out, when we're talking about how many times the drinking water standard some of these concentrations are, we rarely see nitrate concentrations in excess of 2 times the drinking water standard in groundwater that is directly under the influence of either municipal or domestic wastewater disposal. Now, shallow groundwater in the Salinas Valley is under the influence of ongoing nitrate loading from fertilizer application, as I'm going to show you by this case study. The little blue rectangle on this map here is a 12-acre disposal area for a vegetable processing facility that we regulate. And the three rings that are on that little rectangle there show the location of three shallow groundwater monitoring wells that are sampled on a quarterly basis for nitrate. Now, the depth of groundwater in this area is about 10 to 15 feet below ground surface. And the facility discharges over 30,000 gallons a day of water that contains virtually no nitrate or any other forms of nitrogen. Now, shallow groundwater coming in from the surrounding areas, and the groundwater flow is coming in basically from the east-northeast. The groundwater coming in from these agricultural areas completely overwhelms the 30,000 gallons a day of clean water that's being spread out and percolating into this 12-acre area. And it results in the three on-site monitoring wells having nitrate concentrations up to 11 times the drinking water standard. Now, given the shallow depths of these monitoring wells, the high nitrate concentrations are an indication of recent nitrate loading, not a result of legacy sources of nitrate. Now, this is the quality of the water that's recharging our basin. It's up to 11 times the drinking water standard. The point is that there's 30,000 gallons a day of water that contains no nitrate or nitrogen that's being spread out on this 12-acre area, and it's perking down through the ground.
Where does that water come from?
It comes from a vegetable processing facility. And the monitoring wells that are on that site that are sampled for nitrate on a quarterly basis contain 300 to 500 milligrams per liter of nitrate, and that's up to 11 times, or up to over 11 times the drinking water standard. So the shallow water that's coming off of the surrounding areas of irrigated agriculture are basically overwhelming that 30,000 gallons a day of clean water.
Folks, if you could hold your questions, write them down. They're good questions, and they help to clarify things. If you could write them down, then we can get them answered later. But if everyone starts to ask questions, or even a fraction of you, we're not going to get through with staff's presentation in a timely fashion.
Thank you. And I'll stop answering. I'm sorry. Somebody asked me a question. I feel beholden to answer all.
You thought I was asking the questions.
Yeah. The California Department of Food and Agriculture has been tracking fertilizer sales in California since 1923. Now, this figure shows the amount of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium in tons contained within fertilizing materials sold in California on an annual basis from 1923, get up here, to 2008. Now, approximately 90% of the fertilizer data shown in this figure were for commercial agricultural use, where only 10% was for retail, home, and garden use. Now, as you can see from this figure, the amount of fertilizer nitrogen used in California has increased over 800% from the early 1940s until now. Now, on average, over the last 10 years, if you kind of be in this period here, approximately 800,000 tons per year of nitrogen contained within fertilizer has been applied to land in California. Now, all the counties in the Central Coast region account for about 4 to 12% of the total amount of fertilizer nitrogen sold in California on an annual basis since 1971. Now, clearly, this figure shows that fertilizer use in California is a significant and ongoing thing. Now, these two figures show the relative gross amount of available nitrogen for the three largest sources of nitrogen in our region. That would be for fertilizer, human waste, and livestock. Fertilizer is in green, human waste in blue, and livestock is in kind of the brown color. Now, as you can see from the pie chart for our entire region, the gross relative amount of available nitrogen comes of 69% comes from fertilizer in our region, with livestock and human waste contributing approximately 21% and 10% respectively for our entire region. Now, by county, the bar chart shows that for Monterey County and Santa Barbara counties, fertilizer nitrogen contributes 81% and 76% of the gross available amount of nitrogen within those counties. And the chart here shows the tons on the left, so the height of the bar indicates how many tons, and the relative percentage for each county is at the top of each bar. So for Monterey County, 81% from fertilizer, 6% human waste, 13% livestock waste. And these data were generated using California Department of Food and Agriculture fertilizer sales data by county, livestock data, and California census data. Now, beyond what these data show, why are the nitrate impacts so severe and widespread in our agricultural areas? Now, this is due to the widespread use of water-soluble chemical fertilizers. Now, whether the fertilizer is added directly to the soil prior to irrigation or added to the irrigation water, the irrigated water in the root zone is saturated with nitrogen. Now, even within the immediate vicinity of the root zone, only a fraction of the fertilizer nitrogen is directly available to the roots for uptake for the crops. Now, estimates by a widely recognized leader in agricultural research from UC Davis Cooperative Extension indicate that more than 37.5% of applied fertilizer nitrogen that's not taken up by the crops is leached to groundwater in the form of nitrate. Now, this process happens with each subsequent irrigation or rainfall event following fertilizer application. And this is happening repeatedly on approximately 435,000 acres within our region. Based on this model, we estimate that over 75,000 tons of nitrate, not taken up by the crops, have been going directly into groundwater every year on average for the last 10 years. This estimate is for the entire Central Coast region. Now, this would be equivalent, I'm going to try to put this in perspective, this would be equivalent to dumping about 2,000 dump truck loads of pure ammonium nitrate fertilizer directly into our drinking water supplies every year. I've really been struggling over the last several weeks, not just on a professional level, but a personal level on how to frame this. And what I keep coming back to is that this is widespread industrial-scale pollution of staggering proportions. It's just, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around this number when I look at it. Now, the scale and severity of the nitrate impacts to our groundwater basins and our drinking water supplies are consistent with this magnitude of loading. Now, Monterey County accounts for over half of the nitrate loading to groundwater within the Central Coast. Now, this table presents two nitrate loading estimates for the Salinas Valley. And a 1978 report by the Association of Monterey Bay Area Governments, right in here, indicated that over 37,000 tons of nitrate from fertilizer were going into the Salinas Valley groundwater basin on an annual basis. And we did a current estimate and found that the total amount of fertilizer use and resulting nitrate loading to groundwater hasn't increased significantly in the last 30 years. Now, given that agricultural activity has increased, or agricultural land use has increased in the Salinas Valley approximately 27% in the last 30 years, this is an indication that fertilizer efficiency has likely increased since 1978. However, this doesn't lessen the significance of the fact that almost 40,000 tons of nitrate from fertilizer being discharged to the groundwater in the Salinas Valley on an annual basis. Now, the cost to remove nitrate from your drinking water so it's safe to drink are significant. And I'm only going to focus on this first example here. In a professional grade under the sink type reverse osmosis system to remove nitrate from a single fixture in your home costs you about $800 plus about $1,000 per year to maintain. Now, assuming 40% of the approximately 15,000 wells in Monterey County, in Monterey County contain nitrate in excess of the drinking water standard, it would cost $4.8 million plus $600,000 a year to provide safe drinking water for one fixture in each of those households. Now, for the entire region, the cost would go up to about $14.1 million plus $1.8 million per year for maintenance. And the costs go up significantly from there if you go to wellhead or whole house treatment, and especially if you have to install a new well. And the costs associated with providing treatment or replacement water for public water supply systems are considerably higher, as I'm going to talk about here, and I'm only going to focus on the first two examples. Now, the community of San Gerardo is currently spending about $17,000 per month to remove nitrate from their drinking water supply so it's safe to drink. It's been estimated that a new water supply well is going to cost them $4 million. $2 million of that cost are associated with a pipeline that's going to have to go 2 miles to where the new well is located. And they can't put a new well in the vicinity of the existing well because the extent of the nitrate impacts beneath the community are so bad. Now, California Water Service Company is currently paying between $1 and $2 million a year to provide nitrate treatment for 6 public water supply wells in the Salinas Valley. Now, what about the hidden and social costs we're paying? Now, whether we all know it or not, we're all paying a portion of the costs that are associated with dealing with nitrate in our drinking water supplies. Now, although extremely difficult to put a number on the costs associated with the growing number of potential health effects, any costs associated with these problems really should be unacceptable. Now, as taxpayers, We're all going to pay for a portion of San Gerardo's $4 million well because that water is coming from Proposition 84 bond money. Now, the Senate bill was passed in 2008 that restructured how some of Proposition 84 bond money would be spent. And basically, it set aside $180 million for small community drinking water system infrastructure improvement projects and other related actions to meet safe drinking water standards. And this bill had an emphasis on nitrate for this $180 million funding mechanism. The bill also set aside $2 million to do nitrate studies in the Tulare and the Salinas Valley groundwater basins. Now, as taxpayers, we're all going to be paying a portion of the principal and the interest on those bonds to pay for these nitrate problems. Now, many of us are also paying fees or surcharges on our water or sewer bills to treat for nitrate or to provide for an alternative water supply. And in conclusion, you see, nitrate impacts to our drinking water supplies from irrigated agriculture are severe and widespread. Nitrate loading from irrigated agriculture is ongoing and significant. Public health threat and the costs associated with those impacts will continue to increase until we decrease the nitrate loading to our groundwater basins. And as an agency, it's our responsibility to protect drinking water beneficial uses of groundwater within the Central Coast. Now, these are a few of the compelling reasons why the preliminary draft order proposes what it does. I'd like to turn it over to Karen at this point.